Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, August 27th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And I think I'm tapping out, man. I think I'm done. Not overall. I'm not retiring. Not yet, at least. But I have a few more things I'd like to accomplish in the fantasy industry. But I think I'm done with fantasy drafts. I feel like I've had my fill. And yes, I'm weird because I've been drafting since March, pretty much, at this point. And I do have one more draft left. I have a SiriusXM Host League draft on Thursday. And that's it. No drafts for me on Labor Day weekend. Take the weekend off. Recharge the batteries. I'm going away. I'll be sitting on a beach for a couple days there, enjoying my time. And then Tuesday is ready to roll. Like, game on Tuesday. I officially shift gears. I know a couple people will still have drafts Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm shifting gears hardcore. I'm not going to be doing any more draft talk when we come back on Tuesday. So there won't be a podcast on Monday for Labor Day. You're probably not going to listen anyway. And then we just hit the ground running. And it's 2 days until the start of the season at that point on Tuesday of next week. But we're going to roll through this week. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. If you still have drafts to go, if you want to get in now, I mean, it is a 365 subscription, so you get it for the whole year. But also something really cool for existing subscribers, even lurkers. Maybe you're not a subscriber, but you dig what we're doing here on this podcast, etc. Well, we just launched a merch store at FTNFantasy.com. This has been on my wish list for like 3 years. Finally is up, and guess what? It's not just like, now there's going to be shirts with FTN's logo on them. Actually, I love our football logo. I think it's just dope. It's just really, really awesome. But there are Rat Pack shirts. And this is only the start. Like, we're going to be doing a whole bunch of other stuff as we go forward here. But the only way I can really do that stuff is to prove that the Rat Pack merch sells. So that's where you guys come into play. So go check it out. There's a hoodie. There's a regular sweatshirt. There's a t-shirt. It's got the Wu-Tang-inspired Rat Pack logo. Pretty awesome stuff. And shout out to RotoWear for designing that and then being nice enough. Kenny over there gave it to me, which is just super cool. FTNFantasy.com. Merch 20 will get you 20% off your first order as well. So a little sale to kick things off. Okay, so today's podcast, I want to get into some emails because, like I said, you guys won't leave me alone. Before that, though, want to run through, first and foremost, CeeDee Lamb. I do anticipate Brandon Ayuk will not be far in the rearview mirror. Then rip through a few of the injuries and how to process some of these injuries. We have some guys who have landed on PUP, NFI, those sorts of things. We'll rip through those. Let's talk CeeDee Lamb to start. So he got paid. Surprise, surprise. Now, if you're anything like me and you didn't move him on your board, now, admittedly, I was back and forth between him and Tyreek Hill as the number one wide receiver. And so that went back and forth. If you paid attention to my rankings over the offseason, I think it changed like four different times, but it was always one of those two. And ultimately, this past draft weekend, I did have Tyreek Hill at number one among wide receivers, number two overall, but I had CeeDee Lamb two at wide receiver three overall. I didn't move him. I was still very bullish, and I ended up getting him in my home league draft. As a result, very happy about that. Because, A, I was fairly confident he was going to get something done. The Dallas Cowboys would have been foolish to not get something done here. And then, B, if something didn't get done, I wasn't going to lose my mind, freak out, the sky is falling, everything is terrible, all that. I could handle it if I made the mistake. I didn't make the mistake, fortunately. Now, they're going to ramp him up a little bit. I don't know if week one is going to be a full complement of snaps, although I bet he's been working out. I would venture to say he's been working out. But let's run through the details of the contract really quickly. So I don't have all the contract details, but I do have the total value, which is $136 million over 4 years. That puts him just below Justin Jefferson. So Justin Jefferson is 140 over 4 years. That's 35 average annual. CD is 34 average annual. The total guarantees of Justin Jefferson's contract was 110. For CeeDee Lamb, it's 100 in fully guaranteed. They're the first two guys to ever top at wide receiver 100 million in total guarantees. Now, remember, or maybe you don't know this, in the NFL, guaranteed money is not guaranteed. It's so stupid how they do that. It has to be called fully guaranteed in order to be truly guaranteed money. Anyway, fully guaranteed for Jefferson was just south of $89 million, so it was $88.7 million. We don't have the actual numbers for CD yet, but I'm going to guess it's probably 75 to 80, which would still, you know, Jefferson blew everybody else out of the market, and CD would basically be blowing everybody else out of the market as well. He got paid, he got paid, he got paid. Now, the back end of the contract may be a little misleading, whatever. I'm not worried about that. He's in, he's an elite option. Dak is there. There was never actually an issue. Like, Dak never held out or held in. He's playing on the final year of his deal, which, if you look closely at the deal, is a very Dak-friendly deal and a very Dallas Cowboys-not-friendly deal. He is owed $29 million base salary this year, which might sound like, oh, that's not bad for a quarterback. Well, yeah, but no guaranteed money, which tells me that there was no intention of this initially ever getting paid out. He also has a prorated signing bonus on this of $26.1 million, which makes his cap number $55 million, $55.1 to be precise. That's enormous. That's not good for the Cowboys. For Dak, this is an incredible deal because, all right, he already got paid. His signing bonus, all of that ended up being just under $124 million. He's getting $29 million on this year's contract. And one of two things is going to happen, really. I mean, maybe there's a third thing, but we'll get to that. He plays really well this season, and Dallas pays him like a you-know-what. Well north of the 55 that is the top of the market right now, which top of the market, Joe Burrow, 55 average annual, Jordan Love, 55 average annual, and Trevor Lawrence. So he'll go north of that. Also, though, he can play, even if he doesn't play amazing, if he gets to free agency, holy crap. I mean, I don't think we've seen this. Like, we saw Kirk Cousins the 1 year, but I would argue that Dak is a little bit above where Kirk Cousins was at that point in his career, and Cousins got paid. I mean, this could be an insane amount of money for Dak Prescott if he gets to free agency. The third thing is he just craps up the joint, and then the Cowboys are like, see, told you. But I don't know. I don't think any new deal gets done. So anyway, point of the story, though. CeeDee Lamb, great spot. Happy with where CeeDee Lamb is. Happy to fully endorse him. Happy to, have him as a top two fantasy wide receiver. And very glad I got him in one of my home leagues. So good stuff on that front. And like I said, I think Brandon Ayuk is going to get done sooner rather than later. I think it does happen before the start of the season. In which case, if you took the Ayuk discount, that's pretty good. That would be pretty good. All right, a couple of injuries to get to. So somebody had asked me in the FTN Discord chat. So if you are a Fantasy Plus subscriber, you get access to the Discord. You can talk directly to me. And my goal there isn't to like play your teams for you. Like, you know, I keep talking about this. Like, people have been trained to ask a fantasy question to a fantasy analyst, get an answer, do exactly what the answer is. Not understanding why or anything. Just do the answer. And then if the answer is wrong, blame the analyst. And if the answer's right, maybe give the analyst a little bit of credit. But really, that's kind of the process, right? How does that help you at all? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to any sort of lesson, like golf lesson, and then you go out on the golf course, you don't expect the guy who gave you the lesson or gal who gave you the lesson to go play for you. You know, if you're, my daughter's in piano lessons. Like, at the recital, I'm not like, yo, why is the teacher not playing for it, right? You know, like, any other situation. And that's kind of really what I'm doing. I'm kind of like I know it sounds stupid when I say it this way, but I'm like a coach or whatever. I know. Hey, coach. Coach R. No, I'm not. I mean, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to help people get better at this game, and that doesn't get you better. So my goal in the Discord isn't just to answer questions. It's like, or answer like start, sit, and whatever, keeper questions, and would you do this trade? It's to help empower you guys to be better players, you know, because like any game, this game's much more fun the better you are at it. You know, I have a lot of fun playing fantasy, and I'm still getting there. I'm still trying to get better and better. There are a lot of folks in the world who are extremely good fantasy players. And, you know, that's always my goal is to get to that point because it's so much fun when you're better at this game. So anyway, back to the original point. This subscriber had drafted Josh Jacobs and said, I guess it's a slow draft. She said he was considering the handcuff, and he's like, I know that you have AJ Dillon in your handcuff article as the handcuff, but what do you think about drafting Marshawn Lloyd? He's like, I really like Marshawn Lloyd. And I was like, well, I mean, AJ Dillon is the handcuff first and foremost. And then the recent news makes that even clearer. The expectation is that Marshawn Lloyd will start the season on injured reserve. Injured reserve is a 4-game absence minimum. With it designated to return, then that opens up your return window. And then, you know, it's no guarantee that it's just 4 weeks, but it could be a while here for Marshawn Lloyd. So AJ Dillon is the handcuff in that backfield. Jonathan Brooks will start the season on the NFI list. So that is a reserve list, just like PUP. It's 4 weeks. Why is he on NFI and not PUP? Because, well, his injury happened at the college level. Even though it was a football injury, I know it's a little confusing, but it didn't happen associated with the NFL. So not in Panthers facilities, on their practice field, in a game, anything like that. So it's technically NFI. So 4 week minimum, or well, 4 game minimum, because I know somebody's going to come in and correct me on that. It's technically 4 game, but this season there's no bye week in week 4. So it could be 4 weeks. Technically, that's not wrong as well. That means Chuba Hubbard will start the season as a lead back. He should get a lot of run. We just don't know what the offense is going to look like. We don't know how good Bryce Young is going to be. We don't know how well this translates. In terms of Dave Canales, I think it will translate well. He's a very bright offensive mind. But, you know, Chuba's a guy and probably more of a flex option. If you have Jonathan Brooks, you hopefully were braced for this and you can wait it out. If that doesn't apply, then next year, make sure you're well aware of the injury situations heading into it. But we don't know exactly when he's going to ramp up. The anticipation was that PUP was probably going to happen all along, or well, NFI was going to happen all along. Keaton Mitchell will also start the regular season on the PUP list, the reserve PUP. That backfield is definitely interesting. You're very top heavy with Derrick Henry. You have Justice Hill, who can be the pass catching option. From there, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see exactly what they do today. By the way, tomorrow, I'm going to have to swing in for a quick podcast here. It might be a short one because I also have to do the FTN podcast, but I'll rip through roster cutdowns and then like anything that has happened, including trades. I'll get to the one trade that went down yesterday. It's not that important. But either way, that's what you have there for the Baltimore Ravens. So Keaton Mitchell, at least 4 weeks. TJ Hockenson starting on PUP. I've talked about Hockenson. Nick Chubb is also going to be on PUP. Both of those guys are just way too risky for me to draft. Could be a mistake by me. And again, everything comes down to your own risk tolerance. Like, I was not at all concerned about any of the three wide receivers. And obviously, Jamar Chase is practicing now. CeeDee Lamb is signed. And Brandon Ayuk, I think, is ultimately going to happen. My risk tolerance for those guys was, you know, very high. Like, I was willing to tolerate a lot of risk. My risk tolerance for TJ Hockenson and Nick Chubb is extremely low. I don't want to tolerate that risk. I don't want these guys on my bench for an extended period of time or sucking up an IR spot that I could use much more effectively elsewhere. So that's where I am on those guys. Basically, I put them on a point on my draft board where I'm not drafting them. Somebody else will. I won't. I'm not even going to have to make that decision. A few guys who are deeper. Chase Edmonds is on IR. That means Bucky Irving is solidified as a number two in Tampa. Odell could open up on the PUP list. Who knows when he's back? It's an undisclosed injury. A couple guys practicing. Jalen Warren, Puka Nacua, Jahmyr Gibbs, all good on that front. Much ado about nothing with those injuries. And that happens pretty much annually when it comes to preseason injuries. Usually they're not that big of a deal. And yet people make a big deal about them. All right, last thing here. The trade that happened was Malik Willis to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for a 2025 seventh round pick. It's almost like a why would you do that trade type of trade. But the reality is the Titans were going to cut him, like waive him. And ultimately, he would have been subject to waivers and could have been picked up by anybody. Now, if they did do that, they wouldn't have received anything in exchange for him. So this way, at least they do get something for him. Like I said, though, tomorrow on the podcast, I'll like rip through. I'm not going to do emails or anything like that tomorrow. We'll get back to those on Thursday. But rip through all of the roster cutdowns and any other moves that, you know, take place here with roster cutdowns looming. I'm actually up against the deadline as we sit here. It's pretty close to the deadline of roster cuts. But again, that'll be tomorrow. All right, so let's do this. Let's come back. Let's hit up your emails right after this. All right, and we're back. The rantpod jr@gmail.com. Honestly, I'll pull the curtain back here. I didn't expect a lot of people to email, or if they did email, I just thought it was going to be like the run of the mill fantasy questions, but you guys really surprised me. I said it on the podcast yesterday. Kudos to you guys. These are actually really entertaining, and I'm hearing from a lot of different listeners to the pod that they're getting something out of these questions, even if they don't have the exact same question, they're getting more insight here. So let's get into Dave. Or David, it's kind of both. But anyway, oh no, it's not even David. He said his name is Vic. Okay, now I'm really confused. He said he's been a listener since the PFF days and uses my rankings and strategies to help him win his leagues. Awesome, good stuff, man. Last year, he said he ignored the wheelhouse and dead zone and finished dead last in his league. Yeah. He just did a home league draft, followed the hero RB wheelhouse tight end. He took Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram is not a wheelhouse tight end for me. He's outside of that. And he said he followed the dead zone guidelines. Hurts fell to him in the fifth. Well, Hurts would not be falling in the fifth because that's still overvalued for me. His value would be seventh round. He said it's a 14 team league, so late round quarterback was the goal. It's still a seventh round grade for him. That doesn't change in a 14 team league for me. So my fear of drafting a quarterback in the fifth round is twofold. One would either be I'm not strong enough at wide receiver. So if you go hero RB, that means you're probably not going to be strong enough at wide receiver, because that means that you only drafted three wide receivers. You have a running back, three wide receivers, and then you already hit quarterback. Also, chances are you could miss out on tight end, and it sounds like you did since you grabbed Ingram. Now, not me trying to completely shred your team, me more or less saying that these are my concerns and why I don't go that route. Doesn't necessarily mean this is going to be a bad roster, and I'm actually curious to see how this roster works out, because remember, every single year, I'm always trying to evolve, trying to learn from previous years and find what works the best. And so this version of the strategy in 2024 is what I found to work best up to this point, but doesn't mean that it's going to necessarily be the case going forward. So definitely check back in later on, Vic, you know, as we get in like December. Curious how that thing will go. Steve checking in, new subscriber to FTN. Appreciate that. He said, I got him hooked with the pod, the Sirius XM show, and a consistent rankings on Fantasy Pros. Nice. Third time's a charm, I guess. Welcome, Steve. He said he's in a rookie draft. His dynasty team is solid at quarterback, Kyler, Dak, and Stroud. He mentions his wide receivers and his tight ends. He said his running back room is shallow. Yeah, well, that's going to happen. He's the seventh pick and the 10th pick. He expects to have Worthy or Brooks available at pick one. He'll likely take whoever is there at seven, but it looks like he has a question about the 10th pick. He said here, if Drake May or Brock Bowers is still available, should I pounce on one of them? I don't think that Bowers will be, but I think we're kind of missing the point here. Number one thing in Superflex, and this is really true in one quarterback league as well, but there is one position that I'm willing to cross off of my draft board in rookie drafts. It's quarterback. You have three quarterbacks, you're good. Like, you don't need Drake May. You don't. You have three. I mean, Dak's not super young, but I don't think you're in the market right now. So I don't know if I would even be looking at May. But then the secondary point is I'm not drafting for need here. So I'm just going to draft the top guys on my board. I have my board set up accordingly in the order I prefer, because in rookie drafts, it's more important to get talent than it is to address need. If you're addressing need, you could pass on talent and miss an opportunity to hit on a player. I would so much rather hit on a player than fill a need or attempt to fill a need and then miss on that player. That can happen for sure. Drafting for need creates a situation where you're going to need to draft for need, and that is not optimal in rookie drafts. So I would kind of backtrack just a little bit and then go forward from, you know, that starting spot that I backed us up to. Aaron One quarterback draft board 2.0. He has a question here. If he drafts a wide receiver with his first two picks, the third pick says if another wide receiver, then repeat in round three. He said, does that mean I'm supposed to pick the highest guy on my board, even if it's a running back? You can. So here's what I've noticed, Aaron. A lot of people are just opening up draft board 2.0 and not doing the first step, which is really the crucial step. And that is reading the roadmap. The roadmap is the draft strategy article that I started this one. I think I was back at PFF. I might have called it something different at that time. I think I called it the blueprint. But regardless, I revise it every year. Now, granted, is it pretty similar to last year? Yes. But there are a lot of points in there, subtle points that I've changed from last year to fit this year's strategy. So there, I walk you through what you're supposed to do in the first three rounds. It is pretty simple, but you know, it's essentially highest player in round one. If it's a running back, time to go hero RB. If it's a wide receiver, repeat the process in round two. If it's another wide receiver, repeat the process in round three. And then if it's three wideouts, game on. Zero RB, here we go, which is actually what just happened to me in my home league draft this past weekend. But yeah, read the roadmap. That's the most important step. Don't just read the little how to use this board, because it doesn't give you enough context. That's more there as a reminder than it is the be all end all in terms of guidelines. All right, moving on to the next one. Jason saying, I wish I knew how to quit you. Now that his draft's done, the regular season strategy can be in. Well, no, not yet. Not yet. Next Tuesday is when the regular season strategy begins for me. He said, unfortunately, the in-season app he's used for years has been reformatted and doubled in price. Does FTN have any cheap subscription for in-season so you can sync your league? Well, we will have League Sync, but we don't have an app. Our site is optimized for mobile. In fact, we went mobile first. We redesigned our site and relaunched it this year in 2024, several months ago. But it is optimized for mobile. And ultimately, I would say that, you know, League Sync will work on there. But it's not released yet. It'll be ready for the start of the season. Like I said, Tuesday is game on for in-season stuff. He said, can I find success by only listening to the podcast and not the JR show? I don't know, man. They're really different. You know, I think, you know, if you want extended content, then the radio show is the way to go. If you want more entertaining content, the radio show is the way to go. This isn't really that entertaining. The podcast is not. This is just more straightforward. Oh, come on.
Shame.
Am I supposed to do? Fart jokes all the time?
Shame.
Come on, man. No, this is not as entertaining. So I don't know. I don't know what you find success with. I would say probably the number one thing would be subscribing at FTMFantasy.com more so than anything. Zach checking in. He's been a listener for a couple of years. Loves the pod. Thank you. And he's going to get the draft boards this year. Nice. He's in a 12-team snake draft with the 9th pick. He traded his second and third rounders for the 5th overall. And, oh, okay, 5th overall pick and a 5th rounder. That's where he screwed me up. I get it. Okay, so he's got a 1st rounder and a 5th rounder for a 2nd rounder and a 3rd rounder. Got it. Wants to grab an anchor in round one and would love to walk away with 2 of Brees, Bijan, Taylor. See, you lost me there. If you have 2 first-round picks, they do not get any more valuable than a first-round pick, and you invest them in the most volatile asset, like your 2 of them, that's really playing with fire. I would almost like, you know, for me, the other way around, if I could walk out of the first round and I have like CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase or something like that, I would so much rather that than those running backs. He said, should I go running back wide receiver in round one? I'm still going to apply my strategy. So my strategy, the players are secondary to the strategy. It's set the board up appropriately. When I'm up at 5th overall, who is the highest guy on my board? Now, if it's Bijan, then fine. Let it be Bijan. But now if I picked a running back, I'm not going back to running back until round 7. So it's, you know, I'm sticking to the strategy. Even if my picks aren't traditional first, second, third round, if I have 2 firsts and then a 4th and then 2 fifths, I'm still going to do the strategy. So that's how I approach it. You guys can do whatever you'd like, but it does feel very, very, very volatile. All right, DJ said, can I run down a rough best ball strategy? Well, best ball is very, 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 very simple. Very, very, very simple. I'm going to draft for value, Right now in best ball leagues, the value tends to be wide receiver early. Like if you don't get on those wide receivers, they evaporate. And so I'm going to, but that's not always the case, but I'm going to draft for value. And let's say if I draft a wide receiver in the first round, then I go on my list and I star his quarterback because I'm going to want to stack him because that's a pretty important guy to stack. This is in best ball. This is not in redraft. I don't do hero RB or zero RB or anything like that. I don't go out of my way. He says punt, defense, and kickers. Well, we don't have defense and kickers. And, you know, if you're playing on underdog, no. Or DraftKings, no. So if I draft Jamar Chase, I'm going to go and star Joe Burrow. If I draft Puka Nacua, I'm going to star Matthew Stafford. If I draft A.J. Brown, I'm probably not going to get Jalen Hurts, but I'll star him anyway because he goes a little bit too early for my liking. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. He says, does that mean you'll never pair Burrow with Chase? No, I have. And I paired Burrow with T. Higgins a couple times too. So really, it's just about value, stacking, and exposure in best ball. Heath, quarterback question. He says he's been listening for about 3 years now. Nice. Relatively new to the scene here for me, but that's good, man. Not quite the track record of everyone else, but long enough to get a sense of how I do things. Oh, so I guess you've listened to other people longer. Thanks, Heath. His quarterback question. In his league, his quarterback scoring differs. 6-point passing touchdown. 0.5 per passing yard. So a little bit juiced up there. Normally it's 0.05, that is. It's normally 0.04. He said, I understand this doesn't change your strategy for drafting quarterbacks as a whole, but does this scoring change how you rank within the position? Potentially. You know, obviously you want yardage guys. You want, you know, folks who can pass for a bunch of touchdowns. Like somebody like Jared Goff, who isn't going to run a lot, maybe has a little bit more value here. But generally speaking, it's only subtle tweaks. It doesn't really change my approach. Like if it's a one quarterback league, guess what? I'm still going to go safe and upside. And I'm still going to view Caleb Williams as an upside guy and Jaden Daniels as an upside guy. I'm still going to view Kirk Cousins as a safe guy. It doesn't change that at all. I think what it'll do is it'll create more opportunities for you at wide receiver and possibly running back early, maybe a hero approach. You'll certainly have a better chance of getting a wheelhouse tight end in this draft because people draft quarterbacks way too early there, and then you'll still be able to do safe and upside later or maybe even get a value later. I don't think a value later is as doable, but no, it doesn't really change much. All right, over to Brad. He calls me El Jefe. Yeah, I've been called that before. Not the rat, though. That's the weird one. That's definitely... there's like two people who've called me that. And I'm like, nah, that's not my nickname, man. Anyway, he said a couple questions. First, I mentioned waiting a few weeks for the season to develop before diving in on free agents and abandoning draft players. He said, doing that last year, you would have missed out on Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams. How do you evaluate when to jump on week one or two free agents versus waiting for the season to mature? Well, I mean, you're talking in a very, very, very specific sense. Maybe we didn't miss out on those guys. Sometimes we draft a player and our perception is wrong on them. You know, and that's very apparent early on. You know, there is going to be a couple guys that I know have gotten drafted here who look to be further down depth charts. And if that's the case, then you can move on from them. But if you're drafting a player for a very specific reason and you have a read on that player, it makes sense to see that through. You know, to the contrary here, a lot of people dropped Devon Achane early last and that didn't work out. I mean, maybe if you dropped him for Puka Nacua or Kyren Williams, I guess that's a wash. But how do I evaluate it? Well, I evaluate my players first and foremost. I know where I am on them, what my expectations are on them. And then I also have to evaluate the waiver guys. Like if you're talking, you know, a random okay performance, like which is where I see a lot of people make this mistake. They're going to drop a player who has a down week for a rando who had an okay week, that's a huge mistake. Like you do not have to be super active. If they had a massive first week, well, then you have to really consider, all right, well, what do I have this guy on the bench for? What's the rationale here? Am I willing to wait through this? Do I want to try and pounce and see if I can catch lightning in a bottle with one of these guys who blows up early on? Now, granted, you do not have these guys every single year. And it's even more rare that it was on the same team. Second question from Brad. How much grief do I get from my friends at drafts now that I'm in the fantasy business? None. Probably more like 12 years ago when I was still at the very beginning of my career. But no, I mean, a lot of my friends watch TV show, they watch or they listen to the podcast or listen to the radio. I have a lot of support. I don't get any grief from them. And honestly, if I did get grief from people, then they aren't really friends. You know what I mean? So no, I don't get any grief there. It's a lot of love, honestly. All right. Wild Blue, overexposed bench. All right. He said he's been following me since he found wide receiver cornerback matchup at Roto World. Did I do a wide receiver cornerback matchup article at Roto World? I don't even remember that. Okay. He said my overexposed pod was the inspiration. What? Maybe we're confusing me with somebody else. Did something happen here? All right. He had a draft. He had to leave in the late rounds. Well, that's your first problem. He told his wife to take the top-ranked guy unless it's a Patriot or Steeler. Ended up with Ridley, Hopkins, and Spears. Ah. Well, you know, I mean, he says about his bench. Let's just think about this as your roster. Yeah, you have three Titans on your roster. That's not necessarily optimal, but, I mean, maybe this is just a lesson to make sure we're more specific if we have to leave a draft. But yeah, there's not much you can do here. Let's see how this thing plays out. Take it from there. I mean, you're very light at running back. He only has three running backs on his roster. He has Josh Jacobs, Devin Singletary, and Tajay Spears. But I'm not doing anything crazy here. I keep saying this, like, trades are not the way to fix draft mistakes. It's only going to dig you further into a hole. How to value pirate rankings versus the platform we draft on. What is a pirate ranking? You guys really are, you're coming with it here. All right, he said he has a draft. This is from Jeff with a G. Uh-oh. You see? He said he has a draft this week and they use ESPN rankings as a league. Everybody uses the same rankings? Interesting. Personally, he has he has Rashi Rice around wide receiver 20, ESPN has him at 33. How do I balance that when to take him so I don't miss, but I also don't reach? Oh, okay. This is pretty easy. So split the difference. So you have 13 spots different here, or you could look at overall rankings and change it that way, but split the difference. So let's call it 7, put him at wide receiver 27. You know, you're factoring in market value, but you're also going to be slightly ahead of market so you can make sure you get him. All right, I've cleaned out this inbox yet again. Max is up. I won't do the voicemails today. I only have one in here. I'll get to that in the next show. But he said it's his second year as an FTN member. Nice. First year he had mixed results. Not nice. He said, but he hadn't embraced a lot of the strategy. Okay. He mostly just used player rankings. All right. Now he's all in. Hero RB, draft board. And most of all, tiers. See, I don't like the tiers. I know that people, the only reason why I did that is people kept asking for the tiers in one cheat sheet, so I made it. But I find that tier-based drafting leads people to construct rosters that are potentially problematic. But anyway, sorry, Max. He says he's a big fan of the tiers. He said, I'm curious, what is your criteria for tiering players as certain in certain groups? For example, you have Raheem Mostert listed as an early back and not a high ceiling guy, but he has shown the potential to break loose and put up points in bunches. Well, he is an early down back. In that range of tiers, I wanted to separate the early down guys from the passing down guys from the question mark guys. So there isn't even a high ceiling spot in that group of tiers where he is. He said on the other side, you have DJ Moore, DK Metcalf, and Nico Collins as high ceiling. Yes, big high ceiling. He said they're talented, but they seem like they might have their opportunities limited by a crowded wide receiver rooms. No. Sure, there's going to be other targets in the mix, but they all have high ceilings. Like they're big play dynamos. And that's what a high ceiling is. Week to week, maybe they're floors are a little bit lower, but I'm looking for bang for my buck, and all three of those guys offer it. I mean, there's a lot of subjectivity to tiers, and I could just do the regular thing where I just put numbers and don't subdivide the tiers, but the whole point of doing that was, well, it was something I did in articles a long time ago because that's how I saw it. I saw these guys as not the same, even though they're in the same quote-unquote tier. They may have different profiles, and one of the most important things you can do for yourself in fantasy drafts is knowing the profile of the players. Very, very important. All right, that's going to wrap it up today. Like I said, I'll be back tomorrow for a quick one. I'm not going to do a full show. It'll be like a half a show running through roster cutdowns, and then a full show on Friday, and it's on like Donkey Kong into next week. In the meantime, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Go check out the merch store if you want one of those RATPACK shirts. I mean, it looks like they're selling like hotcakes, so I like that. The more these things sell, the more we can get up there of other fun stuff as well. But go check that out. It's right on the website. You can find the link to the merch site. Follow me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.